Please open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs 1, we'll be looking this morning at verses 8 and 9. The Holy Spirit said through Solomon, verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and an ornament about your neck." There's a word we all know very well. It's a word that you use almost every day and in almost every conversation. I'm sure you've used it already today. You may have used it even since being in the gym. This word has indescribable power. It can be used in almost any context. We use it in common conversations. It can be used in international negotiations. It can be used positively. It can be used negatively. Wars have been waged because of this word. Peace has been gained because of this word. Lives have been changed by it. And no word will impact your life more than this little word. Let me add one more fact about it. It was one of the first words, which you learned the meaning of. It was one of the first words that your lips ever uttered. What word are we talking about? It's the word no. Sometimes we use the word with great degree of innocence. No, I don't want any more mashed potatoes. No, I'm not voting for this or that candidate. No, I don't like that guy. No, I don't like that girl. But other times it's a word expressing deep defiance. It's an interesting word. No, two simple letters. And I do find it interesting that the word no was one of the first words that toddlers ever hear. And that's because once they move out of the cute little stage of, you know, just lying there, and then they get ambulatory, which is a big word for movement. They start moving around, crawling and toddling things over. Then they learn very clearly the word no. Because they hear the word no a lot, then they figure out that when stuff happens to them that they don't like, they push back and they say no. It's just a joy to watch parents who think they've given birth to the fourth member of the Trinity, only to find out that there is actually a sin nature in this little one, and the little kid pushes back and says, no! And they're shocked, like, don't you know me? I'm your father, Luke. That was a Star Wars illusion, buddy. That wasn't a... Let me keep going. It always happens. Parents tell their toddler to do something or stop doing something, and the eyebrows drop, the nose shrivels up, and they hear, no! Wish that were the last time we ever said no to our parents. There are times you've said no to your parents very recently and never uttered the word no. But you've still said no to them with a defiant heart, a defiant spirit, a word of rejection, an attitude and a disposition that looks back and pushes against the parental authority that God's placed in your life. You just say no. How important is your relationship with your parents? Well, let me say it this way, without overstatement and without exaggeration. Your attitude and your disposition toward your parents is the single greatest indicator of how your life will play out. Let me say it again. Your attitude or your disposition toward your parents is the greatest, single greatest indicator of how your life will play out. No, it's not an overstatement. Yes, it is the single greatest indicator of the way your life will play out. Why? Because your parents are the first and primary authority in your life. And if you don't know how to deal with authority early in your life, you better get used to it, because your whole life is based on authority. All of us say yes or no to the instruction of our fathers and the teaching of our mothers. Listening to your parents is basically One of the greatest ways you can show you belong to Christ. The fifth commandment you know very well, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land in which the Lord your God gives you. Now, parenting and parents have fallen on very hard times. Parents are all alike. They first try to get their children to talk and walk, then they try to get them to sit down and shut up. Someone has said, if you don't want your children to hear what you're saying, just pretend you're talking to them. Took a minute for you to get that. Let's back up for a second. How serious is this problem of disobedience to parents? Now, look up, eye contact. I'm not just talking about the five-year-olds. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. How serious is this? I just need to take you on a little bitty tour, if I can, two passages that you ought to know, because it's going to shock you, the list of sins that disobedience to parents is actually associated with. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, Paul is outlining the things for which the wrath of God will come. Now listen to this stack of sins, and notice where disobedience to parents finds itself. Verse 28, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. These are people who God has turned over to their own sin, people who rejected God. What do these people look like? God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. When Paul was describing the description of the last days and the last times, how can you know that the time of Jesus is about to come, that he's about to leave heaven and come and put his feet on the Mount of Olives on this earth? How will you know that that time is near? He said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied his power. Avoid such men as these. See, the apostles put disobedience to parents in the same category as murder, being hateful, being arrogant. They understood that a child who expresses disobedience to a parent is actually worthy of death. In Matthew 22, Jesus summarized the entire Old Testament in the entire Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. He said, basically, it all boils down to two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and foremost commandment. The second, in Matthew 22:29, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. In this, all the law and the prophets are contained. Now think about this. In this little simple formula, love God and love others, the entire Old Testament is summarized. Every verse in the Old Testament, think about this. I would argue every verse in the New Testament as well, boils down into two massive categories. That this example or instruction about loving God, or example and instruction about loving others. The first four commandments talk about loving God. The last six commandments talk about loving others. And the first of the last six commandments, which is the fifth commandment, is to obey your parents. It's almost as if there's an unmistakable gauntlet the Lord is laying in our life. He is laying down the challenge and being very clear. If you want to love others, it starts with obeying your mom and your dad. Oh, but you don't understand, Rick. I'm a collegian. Mom and dad, they were good for a while. Actually, still enjoyed some of the food when I'm there. Love getting the checks. Is that it? Are you done with your parents? Let me just tell you, as someone who's lost both of my parents, I wish every day that my mom, my dad were still here to love and still here to obey and still here to honor. Unless the law of averages is reversed in your life and in your family, all of you will go to a funeral where your dad will be buried. Another one where your mom will be honored and buried. What happens between now and then? Not what happened between now and birth. We can't really do anything about that. First commandment about loving others is about honoring and obeying your parents. Why? It's the relationship that most defines you. Think about it. We're stamped with their genetics, protected by their care, taught by their minds, influenced by their habits, guided by their morals, shaped by their values. If you haven't yet, you will find yourself sooner or later, the older you get, saying, I just sounded like my dad, like my mom. Guys, you're going to do it. You're going to hear yourself and you're going to say, that was my dad speaking. Girls, you're going to say something. I sounded just like my mom. The curse works, by the way, too. You see, which curse? You know that curse your mom said? Someday, you're going to have one just like you. I got three of them. In many ways, our relationship with our parents mirrors our relationship with God. Think about it. Parents give protection, care, teaching, guidance, and values. God does the same thing, but on a spiritual and an eternal level. God not only understands, but designed this powerful influence with our parents. It's not an accident. It was His design that such influence be directed toward Him and discipleship relationships that would ultimately be modeled in the early and even latter years with you and your parents. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, but hang on. I mean, I want to honor my parents. I want to obey my parents. I just want some distance there. I mean, they raised me to grow up. I'm grown up. Time for distance. And that's okay. And there's a place for that. But as soon as you want all that distance, tell you what, don't take another dime for them. Don't eat another meal at their house and assume the entire financial responsibility for your relationship with them. And then we can talk. The hypocrisy of the way we deal with our parents is ginormous. Oh, we'll take all the blessings. But listen to them? Are you kidding? Now, this is going to be a confession, and my boys, you can plug your ears right now. I remember when I was 16 years old. Literally, I remember the day, I remember where I was sitting on the couch. On Tamarack Trail. Just had an interaction with my dad, and he left, and I thought, my dad is a complete idiot. And I am the smartest guy I know. Just ask me. I actually articulated the fact that my dad didn't have a clue about life, but I did. He was definitely uncool, cheesy, embarrassing. You remember that time when you get like, okay, can you like let me off like a mile from school and I'll see you tonight. I'll have dinner with you. The book of Proverbs begins deliberately. After six verses of introduction, the theme is given. Fear God, and fearing God is the source of all wisdom. What's the very first commandment, the first lesson Solomon tells his children, his son, Rehoboam? What's the first thing he teaches them after laying out the introduction? Lesson number one. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Right after the heart of the issue, it's about your relationship with your folks. This morning, we're going to briefly consider your relationship with your parents. I have no temptation to say everything that needs to be said about this subject because we're going to hit it in the next chapter and in 3 and in 4 and in 6 and in 5. We're going to hit it everywhere. So I'm a little relieved that I don't have to say everything about this because Solomon is going to continue teaching this subject about listening to your folks. He'll remind us over and over in the coming study about the primacy of listening to and obeying your parents. Now, I know what you're saying. Yes, but you don't know my parents. You don't in this situation. We'll get to that. Trust me. My concern is not about the exceptions. My concern is about the rule. Are you an honorer and an obeyer of your mom and your dad? Let's look at this passage and we'll find together three right responses to parental authority. Three right responses to parental authority. The first response is in the first part of verse 8. Hear what they teach. Hear what they teach. Now, the first part of this verse talks about the father. The second part talks about the mother. Let me just say you can interchange those. It's set up in Hebrew parallelism. He could have said dad twice, mom twice, or parents both times. He's just being poetical. Hear your father, listen to your mother. It doesn't mean you can only do a certain thing with one parent and a certain thing with another. He's talking about both of them together. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Hear means listen with an attitude of heeding. Listening because you need to. Many years ago, 1988 or 1989, I went to New Zealand for the first time. Now, in New Zealand, we have any Kiwis in here? They just don't. Their whole understanding of liability is different than ours. If you can make it and it's dangerous, you got to do it. That's basically their concept of life. So we got to this camp, and I'd been there for the first time. And a buddy of mine and I were interacting with these guys. We were there the day before the camp started. They had just gotten in the mail a brand new parasail to pull behind a boat. It's the middle of winter, just above freezing, ice around the edges of the lake. And they said, hey, we're gonna try this before the kids get here. All right. Rick, we want you to be the first one. All right. I was single then. So they strapped me up, and I'm on the shore, and the boat went out and out and out and out and out and out. We learned later they had way too much line. Way too much line. So they said, tell you what, there are some guys who are going to hold up the parasail, parachute thing, and you're strapped in this harness, and we'll take off, and they'll run with you until you get to the edge of the water. You jump, and it'll catch. All right. So I did. And I could see the edge of the water coming nearer and nearer and nearer. And it got right to the edge, and I thought, I'm wet, I'm dead, I'm going to be dragged behind this boat and drown, but I'm going to jump. And I jumped, and it caught wind. And I went up. Now, a few things I noticed once I was up. First of all, I hadn't worn a jacket. And it was freezing. And I'm up above these cliffs. Wow. Mountain goats. Really cool. We're driving around, boating me around this beautiful, pristine lake. And I'm like, okay, that's good. Just take me back and drop me off the shore. Okay. And I noticed about four times we lapped, we went right around the shore, and they were yelling at the guy on the shore. There's a reason they were doing that. They didn't know how to land me. And they were asking, so what are we doing? We'll be back in a minute. We let off the gas. Round and around and around. And finally, I'm figuring this out. My hands are getting numb. I've got stuff frozen up my cheeks. And I think I'm going to die. And so then it happened, and I knew what they were going to do. They hit the gas, go right out into the middle of the lake, and you ever heard a boat engine just like, this is a parasail. This is not a descent chute. It has holes in it. And so I went from going this way to going this way. and just dropped me right down in the middle. I cannot describe to you how cold that water was. They came around to get me. The line got wrapped in the prop. They paddled over. They get me in. Took us about 20 minutes to get in. And they think this is funny. Oh, that was good, mate. You should have seen the drop. Yeah. You should have seen the drop. We were having dinner that night over a cup of tea and a biscuit, which is a New Zealand for cookie. And I remember them saying, yeah, I think it's real important. We got to learn. You got to read the instructions before you get somebody up in there. Yeah, that's a good idea. Like that. That's the concept here. Heed with a certain urgency. Listen, hear your father's instruction. Your father's instruction is his teaching of the word of God and life's wisdom. Listen, your dad is not clueless. I mean, he had you, right? Don't make too much of the distinction between father and mother. You should also hear your mother's instruction as well. Now, if you have some spiritual lubricant, I want you to put it on the spines of the book of Proverbs. I want you to take you on a tour. You've got to see this. This is about a quarter of what I could show you, but just watch this. Look at Proverbs 3:1. Let's look at 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life. Peace they will add to you. That's what a dad says to his son. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. Give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. We'll come back to that in just a few weeks. Look at verse 10 of chapter 4. Hear my son, accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have discretion. I've directed you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in the upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Look at verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. Chapter 6, verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and the reproofs for discipline are the way of life. That's from parents. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words, treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son accepts his father's discipline. That's the same word there as instruction. But a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Look at chapter 15, verse 20. I'm skipping so much I can't even tell you here, guys. Chapter 15, verse 20. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. One of the ugliest things I've ever experienced, and it's happened more times than I can describe, is to hear a collegian speak about their parents with derision. Chapter 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. That's mom. Chapter 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Oh, that's you guys. As your mom gets older, then you start saying she's weird and wacky. 28:24. He who robs his father or his mother and says, it's not a transgression, is the companion of a man who destroys. You're taking advantage of your parents. The older you get, do you want to take advantage? I know of a situation right now where there's a man back in the state I grew up in who is trying to manipulate his parents to change the will so that he'll get more of this certain piece of property than his other siblings. Trying to rob his dad. One more, 30 verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, tell you what, the ravens of the valley will pick it out. The young eagles will eat it. Plucking out the eye of a person. Now guys, listen, look up a second. That's one fourth of what I could have shown you in Proverbs. I just wanted you to get really drowned in the idea that listening to your parents is a big deal for a wise person and a pursuit of wisdom. Let's go back to the text. What's your attitude toward your dads? Toward the instruction? Do you listen? How about this? Do you ask? Do you ask what your dad thinks about life? What he thinks about this situation? Yeah, but my dad's not a Christian. Oh, you're right. You don't have to obey. Oops, I'm sorry. That's in the verse, isn't it? Hear the instruction of, hear my son, your Christian father's instruction. Is that in your Bible? It's not in mine. And do not forsake your Christian mother's teaching. Or if they're godly. It could be that your most valuable evangelistic tool with your parents is your obedience to them. And you're listening to them. And you're seeking them for wisdom and insight. What if they don't love the Lord? We'll come back to that in a moment. Hear what they teach. Listen to them. Seek it out. Number two, remember what they say. Remember what they say. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Don't forsake it. Don't forget it. It stays with you all of your life. No one in this world has given you a more caring, devoted eye. No one in this world has given you more caring attention than your mom. No one. Just find one of our younger mothers and follow them around for one day with a baby. Talk about thankless. They make the same mess again they just made last hour. And they never say thank you. They learn to say no. That's what they do. If you have issues with your mom, you've got serious issues with thankfulness. You know what the practical application today is? You ought to go home and call your mama and say, I love you. I am so sorry for doing all that stuff you had to clean up for all those years, and you did it, and you love me, and you care for me. I just want to know how you do life. So I said, come on. I watched my mom growing up. I watched my wife. It is just remarkable to me. Wash the same dishes every day. Clean the same messes every day. Straighten up the same thing every day. Vacuum the same floors every day. It never stops. And at least my wife never complains about it. Are you thankful for what your mom has done? Not just by teaching you officially, the example she left you? Wow. I would give anything if my mom were here today and I could just hug her one more time and say thanks. Thanks for all the ways you taught me, all the things you did for me. One person talked about the things his mother taught him and said this, my mother taught me logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. My mother taught me medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. My mother taught me to think ahead. If you don't pass your spelling test, you'll never get a good job. My mother taught me ESP. Put on your sweater. Don't you think that I know when you're cold? My mother taught me to meet a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me. My mother taught me humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me all about roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about the wisdom of the age. When you get to me at my age, you'll understand. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. My mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when he gets home. And then one more about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll know what it's like to be a parent. The idea of this text is not to leave the path that your mother has carved out for you. All right, let's talk about it. By the way, what would you say if your friend or maybe you says, "Yeah, but my mom's not a believer, and she has some strange ideas. My dad's not a believer, and I don't respect him very much. I don't care about what he thinks." Honor your father and mother. Listen to your mother. Listen to your father. It doesn't say if they're believers, if you're living at home, if you're young, if you agree with them, if you think your best interest is in mine. It doesn't say honor them if you think they're right and you're wrong. And it doesn't mean that you should honor them if you think you're right and they're wrong. Leviticus 19:11. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father.'" How do you become holy? You deal with your parents in the right way. But what if you disagree with them? What if they are wrong? What if you think they're wrong? Let me say this. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and we had this discussion. He asked me, and I gave him the statistics. In over a quarter century of working with students, junior high, high school, and college, in over a quarter century, over 25 years, I have deliberately told a young person to disobey their parents one time. That's several thousand people who've come through our ministry. And this one time was when the father and mother, over the course of several years, were demanding that this daughter marry a person from a cult. And that was after 3 years of talking to them before I said, "You know what, you got to disobey him." Yes, you can appeal to them if you disagree, but it must be done in a godly way. Now, I think it's important right here just to take a little footnote. Let me give you some guidelines for honoring your parents when you disagree with them. Can I? Because I know it's going to come up. I needed to deal with it in the sermon, so I don't have to deal with it for 2 hours after the sermon when you say, "But what if I disagree and what if they're wrong?" What do you do? Do you have a plan for your life when you differ with the plan your parents have for your life? Let me give you just some bullet points. Number one, pray about your response and their response to the impasse. Pray about your response to the impasse. It's remarkable to me when we get into conflict with parents how little we pray. God has the power of the king under his rule. Do you think he has the power of your parents? Pray about it. If you don't pray, you're telling God indirectly that his help is not needed in this conflict. Pray with your parents if possible. You know what? We disagree about this. Can we pray together? Maybe suggesting a plan for prayer together is the first and foremost thing that you should do. Look, can we're not going to decide this, but let's make sure that our attitudes stay godly. Can we pray about this together? Secondly, be ready to be corrected. Ouch. Be ready to be corrected. Don't assume you are right. You might not be. Have them clarify what obedience to them would look like. Try to look for the way that You need to adjust your attitude, your actions, before you ask them to adjust theirs. Be ready to surrender the negotiable issues that are not clear biblical issues. You mean I should defer to my parents' preference? Yeah, probably should. Because the other option is to create a conflict that's not solved by the choice of a preference. It's only solved by humble submission. We'll come back to that. Number three, make honoring them a goal, not a byproduct. Make honoring your parents a goal, not a byproduct. What do you mean by that? I want to honor you, mom and dad, more than I want to get what I want. More than I want you to agree with me, I want to honor you. God will honor that kind of attitude. The place to start by seeking your parents' honor is setting your desires aside instead in light of theirs. Number four, evaluate your decision biblically. Evaluate your decision biblically. Now, be careful here. It's easy to justify what you're thinking with the Bible, with verses, without truly being biblical. Heard someone say you can justify suicide very easy in the Bible. Judas, by just opening your Bible anywhere, open your Bible, put your finger down. Judas went out and hanged himself. Open it up to the evangelism passage. Go and do likewise. Well, you can make the Bible say almost anything you want if you're not careful. Exegete. Seek to be corrected by God's word rather than to use the Bible for your arguments. Evaluate your decision biblically. Fifthly, just a couple more. Try to discuss the issue with them apart from a debate. Try to discuss the issue with them apart from a debate. You know, what often happened when I was having disagreements and discussions and arguments with my parents is that's when you try to do all of your convincing. And that's when they try to do all of their convincing. This is a little encouragement for your future marriage. In the middle of a heated battle is not always the best time to get full closure on the issue. Ask forgiveness for attitudes. Make sure there's no sin outstanding and say, you know what, let's think about this a little later when we're cool, when we're calm, when life is not attacking us by the emotions. When emotions are high, good judgment is rarely present. Write your thoughts out. Before you discuss them, write them out. Maybe even write a letter or read it to them. Ask for counsel and advice rather than giving them your thoughts and decisions. And number six, this is the one you've been asking, so let me go ahead and answer it. When there is no resolution with the disagreement, when there is no resolution, seek counsel with church leaders. With them if possible. When there's no resolution, seek counsel with church leaders, with your parents along if possible. It really frustrates me when I get somebody that comes to me, a collegian, and says, I just want to talk to you about my parents. Well, let's get your parents involved too. Let's get everybody together in this thing. Even unbelieving parents are given by God for wisdom and instruction. No qualifications in the fifth commandment about honoring and obeying your parents. Waiting is better than rushing into a decision that will alienate you from your parents. Romans 12:18 is very clear. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Are you working on peace? Or are you just trying to get what you want? When you seek this counsel, by the way, never speak to your parents in a way that's not honoring to them and honoring about them. You're not going to believe my parents, how wacky they are and this, that, and the other. Oh, that honors Jesus. Seek to change your own heart rather than change your parents. And only go against your parents when all biblical and church resources have been exhausted and the church leadership counsels you in that direction. I would never want to go against my parents' counsel unless there was clear reason from other biblical authorities that I ought to do so. Now, I know what you're saying. Yes, if I do that, I won't get what I want. No, you won't. But you will get what God wants, which is a submissive heart toward authority. I mean, we live in the world of Bart Simpson, a time when obeying your parents is uncool, even considered archaic. There's so few gray areas about obeying your parents that could be questionable. I can't even believe we have to take the time to talk about all those exceptions. 9 times out of 10, they want to do something that's for your benefit and for your good. The longer I'm a dad, the more I realize how my parents cared for me and that I didn't care for how they cared for me. That leads to number 3. Hear what they teach. Remember what they say. Number 3, enjoy what they provide. Enjoy what they provide. Verse 9, indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. There's not a whole lot to explain about this verse except to get you back in that culture and bring you into ours. What I mean by that is this. It was a crown of leaves that you gave someone who won an athletic competition, or an ornament, a big amulet that you wear as a necklace that meant you were an heir to the king. It meant that you had something important about your life and your office. He's saying obedience, obeying your parents, their very influence in your life, are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. They are blessings, signs of honor. It would be like us saying you'll be respected as if you had a PhD in life, and people will notice that you've got your life together. Honoring your parents brings unspeakable blessing. If Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I think it's you children obey your parents in the context of the Lord, not only if they're in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother is the first commandment with a promise. God blesses your obedience, rather, to parents. Don't miss the blessing. Turn the coin over. How important was this to God? Is this to God? Deuteronomy 21, just listen, 18 to 19. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son or daughter who will not obey his father or mother, and when they chastise him, code word for spank, discipline, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown, and all the men of the city shall stone him to death, so that you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. To be fair to this text, we have no record of this ever occurring in the nation of Israel. But it's God's word. Was God saying, just go kill any kid that doesn't obey? No. He was saying that a kid who continues to disobey and brings dishonor to his mother and his father is worthy of death. He wants you to see how serious it is. Principle is unmistakable, even if it seems harsh. Teaching children the principles of faith and obedience are matters of life and death. The flip side is true also. If you don't pursue the acquisition and application of wisdom from your parents, you, as Solomon will tell us, are a fool. Only a heart motivated because of being forgiven by Christ could ever be a forgiving, obedient child to your parents. It starts with the gospel for you. If you haven't embraced the gospel, this is just going to be another to-do list that you will fail at miserably again. What's your attitude toward your folks? Several years ago, there was a girl who sat in this gym, a girl in our ministry. In her baptism, she gave her testimony. And during that testimony, made several comments about how unhelpful, unkind, and unmotivating her parents were and had been to her in her upbringing toward the things of God. Oh, she'd grown up in church, but see, my parents didn't lead me in the things of the Lord. She went on to say some very direct things about her parents. Her parents live in another state. Safe, right? A few months later, her parents were visiting her apartment. She was out to run some errands, and they saw a videotape there that said baptism. So they plugged it in and watched it. She's still doing the repair with her parents for how deeply she wounded them for what they saw her say about them in a public setting. How many things and how many times have you said things about your mom and your dad that if they were there, it would crush their hearts? Honor your father and mother. Listen to your dad. Don't forsake the teaching of your mom. And if you haven't been doing that, phone calls are cheap. Get on the phone this afternoon. Ask their forgiveness. Now, footnote, if you had a conversation that you're disparaging about them, don't go into all the detail about that. Just say, I haven't honored you as I wish I would have. I want to start now. Don't have to tell them everything that you've ever said about them. That's a little much. Start something new now. Listen, look up. If you don't get this lesson down now, you'll have no hope for submitting to authority the rest of your life. And this is the key that unlocks the rest of the instruction in the book of Proverbs. This is dad talking to his boy. Listen to your dad. Heed what your mom has told you. Make it right today. Father, open our eyes to see where we've failed you as children to our parents. Make us good children to godly parents. Make us good children to ungodly parents. We want to have those adornments, a crown, a necklace of blessing because of what you've caused us to do in obeying and honoring them. While our heads still bowed, it could be that the Lord has used this text to reveal to you areas in your relationship with your mom or dad that you really need to go and address and repent of and fix. For those of us who are moms and dads, it means that we ought to have solid biblical instruction and counsel that ought to be heeded because it matches what God said. But we'll come back to that later in Proverbs. Lord, dismiss us with hearts and attitudes for repentance and love for mom and dad. In Jesus' name, amen.